So I'm Richard Lang, and this is my friend Bill Garsai that I've known for many years. And Bill first came across seeing in the early 70s, like I did. And we're just going to chat about the experience of seeing and how we've reacted to it in different ways. Well, at least Bill is.
Hi.
So where should we start, Bill? Just tell me about how your experience when you first came across seeing and some reactions to it.
Seeing was very challenging to me.
Why?
Because I've felt the need to protect myself, I think, from... I remember the sensation that it was weird. This was once one had managed to extricate oneself from direct experience, and one was back into the script.
Well, say a little bit about what you mean there.
I think it's a very rare person, maybe more people these days, but I think when we were young, it was a very rare person who had thought through the things that Douglas had thought through and was asking the question that he was asking. I really wasn't. I was vaguely looking to know about spirituality or to get some benefit from spirituality. I'd done meditation, a little bit of transcendental meditation and so on. But I had no notion that anything as radical was going to be asked of me. So when I went along to seeing, it was just in a vague, oh, well, he's a Buddhist or something, you know.
Douglas was giving a lecture at the
university, yeah.
And do you remember your first impressions then?
What I remember from that lecture was that what attracted me was the fact that Douglas was available in a way that was really something I'd not come across before. He said at the end of the lecture, if anyone's interested in this, then my house is open and you're welcome, give me a ring. And that's not something you hear every day from a visiting lecturer at a university. It really isn't. And that's all I can really, I know that's true, that I felt I was touched by that. Whatever else sunk in, I don't know. But I certainly know that when I went, I eventually, some months later, I think, rang him up and went down with my girlfriend to stay for the weekend at one of his two houses. And I got it full strength that time. And it was briefly one joyous, wonderful. I had a sensation, I remember, of having dropped a huge weight. And this lasted about 10 minutes.
But going along to see him kind of reinvigorated the experience for you in a way, or it deepened your understanding? Or
I know that I got it that weekend. That was a whole weekend of doing experiments and getting clear about what he was saying. And no, look, I may well have got it the first time. I don't know. I just don't remember.
Mm.
I remember being struck by his kindness and feeling that there was an opportunity. But one of the things that I find so often, I remember looking around the spiritual supermarket, is that you're always on the outside looking in. There are people saying, "We've got it, come here, we'll give you a little bit." Or if you try hard, you'll get some. And that feeling that you're always in the cold somehow, that other people have got themselves in a nice fireplace, but you really haven't, and everyone else really that I've ever come across among the many, many, many things on offer is really always saying to you, "Hey, stranger, you can have it better than you've got it," but not actually, "Man, you've got it, you don't need us."
So that was what the message you got from Douglas was, is that what you're saying? You've got it, Bill, you're seeing who you really are, for sure.
Yeah, that was one of the things. Yes. I think that's incredibly important. That right from the get-go with seeing it's you what did Douglas say is embarrassingly obvious.
Mm-hmm.
It is. There's nothing here. I mean, you can't take your time over that. And Douglas was always really insistent that you've got it full strength. There's nothing to be added.
So what happened next in your experience?
Well, I would go back to Nottingham, where I was living, and try and forget it, really.
Did you succeed?
For periods of time, yes. You'd get it back into routine, back into your perspectives. And the way, you know, Douglas, or seeing, or headlessness, has a particular way of talking, developed a language of its own, and that changes. But so, from that point of view, it was a little universe of discourse on its own, and therefore odd. You talk about headlessness or not having a head, and you fall into ways of speaking with other people who've shared the experience, which you both know what you're talking about. But if anyone else was eavesdropping, they'd go,
"Weirdo."
Yeah. This is not normal. So
it sort of went off the boil for you.
I think I fought it like anything. I don't think it went off the boil. No, I think I went, "What? No," because it's a total. You know, all the stuff that I mean, I had done quite a lot of work on rejecting everything my parents had told me, very important when you're young, and building up my own belief system. And, you know, I was getting onto the lower foothills of some sort of spiritual superiority there. And
it blew it all out of the water.
You know, this is irrelevant and unnecessary and a waste of time. And what you think you've achieved is actually a paper castle. You've done nothing. And of course, there's good news with that. But I was not ready to give up my achievement, you know, my selfhood, that easily.
Yeah. So what happened?
Well, because seeing's so obvious. I mean, you walk down the street, it catches you out. Do you know, this has not occurred to me before, but I think it is a very loving thing and authentic. And I guess my heart responded to that. And so, although, yes, and Douglas always said, and we always say, you've got it. You can go where you like into outer space and you've got it just as good. But to be at peace, to be at ease with people with no pretense and
it's a wonderful thing, isn't
it? It is.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
But it was very powerful. It wasn't something that the two sides of it, you know, yes, it was nurturing and enjoyable, but it was extremely challenging. And for somebody who was caught up in understanding a lot, I was brought up to understand things and so seeing has a whole lot to say in that area, and it sets it all spinning, particularly that central thing of progress, progressing, making yourself into something. And we're taught that we should, you know, this is important, and that people who think through their lives tend to set a lot of store by
understanding.
Yeah.
So has your resistance to seeing gone, and did it go quickly, or what happened? You've been seeing for 40 years.
I think for a couple of years I managed to forget it for sort of 3-6 months at a time, and then I'd go back and then for the next couple of years I was very much on my own, and it was the understanding side of it for me was just pouring through, having been filtered through. I did philosophy at university, so I had a lot of
training,
intellection going on, and knew a lot of perspectives, you know, the basic philosophical positions, and all the Greek philosophers and subsequent philosophers who had had things to say which were interpreted to me in certain ways, and you suddenly understand it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
a very rich time.
Very, yeah, rich and isolating, because uh-huh. thinking a lot is not good for you.
Mm.
So I was rattling about on the buses. I was a bus conductor in a very beautiful part of the world, just bzzzt like this.
So what happened next? I mean, what was the next phase in a way?
Well, the next, I guess that slowed down a bit. Every now and again I would do a workshop either with Douglas or with you maybe. Or
so you were making friends as well as being isolated on your own in a part of the country where you weren't really sharing seeing, perhaps. You were visiting Douglas and making seeing friends, as it were. You were part of a community.
I was pretty semi-detached.
Uh-huh.
Because you guys had all met each other.
Yes.
At a very quite short period of time, hadn't you?
Yes.
And I sort of arrived, I think, a couple of years later or whatever, and I think There was a sense that I was not part of that social grouping quite as much as other people were, I think. And also there was a spread, wasn't there? That was one of the really interesting things about what was going on around Douglas in the 70s was that there were an almost random collection of types and ages of people that would fetch up there.
From different parts of the world.
From different parts of the world, very different perspectives on life and experiences. Yeah, that was a fantastically valuable for me. I mean, all the people that fetched up there, who had, some of them, very developed views of their own, fantastic cross-section of interesting and sometimes quite strange people.
Yes.
Yeah.
So where are you at with seeing now?
There really isn't any not seeing. I mean, I can't think where... I can't think where the distinction stops. I mean, even there are seeing bits and not seeing bits, but that's just one way of looking at it. I think Douglas told the truth, and I think you and I and anyone who cares to gets it. In a way, you just start swimming. You just start, it's like playing, isn't it?
It is.
At a certain point, it stops being, all right, got to do this, and it's like, whoa, might as well do this, this is fun. Life is fun, really. That's the light, you know. I was very serious, very, very heavy, really, and I think a lot of intellectual people are.
It sort of lightened you up.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, yeah. Yes. So, and everywhere you look, I mean, seeing's generous like that. It isn't seeing and not something else. It's just... be edgeless, be natural. At a certain point, there isn't any seeing and not seeing, is there? It's just...
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and that's a gift. It's like, you know, you haven't... There's no identity there. Yeah. There's just... that stuff muddling along, and this not muddling along at all. And then silence. And then, you know, one's into the mystery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Bill.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Always a pleasure talking about this stuff. Yeah.